It's recording.
We have had a very critical and important day in the calendar of our revolution and this country, the 9th Women's Day. And congratulations to all the women who are celebrating this important day together with their men. Okay. And I must say that we attended a very spectacular award ceremony held in Johannesburg. Women in Science, the one that you were invited to. You don't know what you must. We'll organize another one next year. So all political parties must work very hard to win elections so that all of you must come back for the next award ceremony next year. Our guests, and especially from the committee section, Khadija, thanks for coming, and whoever is with you here. Thank you very much for honoring us with your presence. The Department of Science and Technology, DDG and team, Dr. Mehlo Makhulu, welcome, with all your entourage that is here. Sometimes we take it for granted that we know everybody here, you see. But just for the record, when you take the seat, you must just tell us who is accompanying you. So that we must just have for the record who's in attendance. Housekeeping issues, we are debating this poll next week. So we're hoping to finish today. I'm aware that some members only saw this morning or yesterday. So it will be a slow process, but I would appeal that we finish this today. The department and the state law advisors, parliamentary law advisors, I suspect couldn't finish last Thursday or Friday. But did you finish? Okay, then it's the committee section distribution line that was slow. Because it said Friday, when did you give it? Yeah, okay. No, they received it on Friday, so it was a bit slow in the post, but it's fine, you can look for that. We have two bills, just to remind you, that still have to go through Parliament. HSRC bill has amended the last time. We just have to adopt it, hopefully, same time, same date. We'll try and see if we can do that. Like we said, we are trying to get the TIA bill for the amendments on the board appointments. As soon as we get that, we'll also deal with that expeditiously. So those are the legislative finalizations that we've got to do. We set some process in motion to try and see what happens post the legislation next Thursday. Oversight visits, if we still have to do some. We also invited, let me put it this way. I've received an invitation to accompany the ASAF delegation to the UK in November. That is the first week of November. We're trying to see if we can get more members to do that, to go with us, so that we do what is what the program dictates for ASAF. But also we are planning that we should visit the post in London. The post that we spoke about, some will know, the Parliamentary Office on Science and Technology, to just see what they do and to see if we can't strengthen our resource base and capacity to deal with issues as and when they come. I must also thank the Parliamentary Law Advisors and the Department for their hard work in bringing us to this point. Now, having come to this point, I must ask the department to just tell us if there are any issues they are worried about before we get into the body of this legislation, just general issues, and also to check with the state law advisors if they are comfortable with what they have produced. Are there any other things that they have missed out that they want us to look into, just so on. And after that, we will be getting into this legislation, page by page, line by line, however you wanted to us to go through it. When we are satisfied that we've got a good law in front of us, and that we know what we agree and disagree about, then I'll do the rituals that we do here. Tembinkosi will be giving you some papers that I'll be telling you about. Motions of desirability and the report and all that jazz, you see. And after that, stay for a way. We go and have our lunch and live happily thereafter. yes, madam.
Before the department responds, we look into the HSRC, we look into TIA, but I am not sure whether we did have a look at the bill that brought about all the contentions that came to the fore, the AGA, but if we did look into correcting it so that it looks the same as the others. Advantageous geographic.
Is that bill not concluded? Concluded. It's finalized.
And fine.
And fine.
And right.
Okay. But anyway, something was there. I just wanted to check if there were any.
Obviously, it was before my time, isn't it? Okay. So there was some baggage that I had to inherit there as well. No problem. Members, we've got a card here that will be circulated to you quietly, and everybody who's here who feels they want to say something to our previous secretary who's there, no? So, the thank you card, I'm told, that has been organized for us to say at least thank you for the good work done. Having said all these things, we will attend to the voting part of this bill once we have a proper quota. We've got one member short. I've got too many apologies here, but we've got three members who are in circulation in Parliament, who are members of this committee. They'll be here as soon as possible. Can I take general comments before I start with a serious person? So that nobody must say, listen, you suppressed me. I wanted to tell you how I feel about this committee, this law, and the department. Okay. Silent means. You say it now, or keep quiet forever. All right. Now, the bill. Can you go ahead? Doctor, is there anything you want to say before I give the state law advisors a chance?
Good morning, Chair and members. Maybe let me start by introducing my capable team. On my right, I have Mr. McLean Sibanda, who is a patent attorney working for the Innovation Fund, which is the instrument of the Department of Science and Technology. He's seconded to the department to help with this bill. And you've seen him working with us throughout this process. And Christine Schloss, who's recently joined our sub-program looking at innovation planning. And she was with communications, and she's going to be part of the team that's working on TIA and the implementation of this bill. Mr. Tiso Rasignano, who's our legal services person from the department, and you're all familiar with Velim Bele, who's our parliamentary office. officer, and Nurunesha, who's with the Deputy Minister's office. Chair, we are comfortable with the amendments as affected by the state law advisors. We now trying to work through the revised bill to see if the amendments that have been affected in the bill are reflecting the A-list amendments. But we're comfortable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's hear from the state law advisor. Are there any parliamentary legal advisors here? What's happening to them? Bob. Okay. Sis, do you want to say anything?
Thank you, Honorable Chief. I've also gone through the bill. There is one or two things that we've left out, but I can alert the members when we come through those, when we go through the list. But as far as the constitutionality and the drafting of that, we are satisfied and the bill will make standard.
That's very reassuring. Maybe you should alert us now, if you've got it ready, just to have an indication of where things that you might have left out.
Thank you, Chair. The first omission, which I think is my fault, it should actually come after number 30.
Just give us the page number of the clause or the section.
Okay, I'm dealing with the A-list, which is Bill B-46A, 2008.
Yeah.
On page 2, we're dealing with clause 1. Then after the amendment of 13, there is one amendment that I left out, which should read as follows. It is obviously...
Sorry, my dear. Which you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 15 on page 2 of the A-list. That is the amendment. The amendment, what's one? B-46A. And you deal with clause 1, which is the definitions part. And you just let us which line or which number, as the numbers appear there.
Number 13 deals with the amendment. Then I omitted to put another amendment after that, which would now be number 14. And then number 14 would become number 15, and number 15 would become number 16.
Okay.
Number 14, the amendment should actually read as follows. On page 3, in line 10, to omit, open brackets, derived, close brackets, and to substitute, open brackets, emanating, close brackets. Sorry, open inverted commas, close inverted commas.
Emanating.
Emanating.
That's the only amendment on that bill. And then there was just on the other bill, where there is, this is now on the B bill, which included the amendment. On page 3, and we're dealing with clause 2, that is in line, or after line 28.
Is it page 2 or page 3?
Page 3, sorry.
Okay. Subsection 2, okay. The one that starts with recipient. A recipient.
It's the objects of the act.
Okay.
There's just a problem with the incorporation. We have indicated it on the A-list that there should be a new A, B, and C, and then the A, B, and C of the old bill should actually follow as D, E, F, G. So the that objects of the act should actually be a long list from A to G. So what is contained in the A list should actually be A, B, and C, and then from the old ball, those should have been retained, and here it was substituted. So it's just an error in incorporating in this ball.
Okay.
So this ball must actually be amended to reflect those.
Mr. Chairman, can she just read it for us? On the B ball, what it should be now. I think then we're going to understand what we're doing.
I'd like it to do so. Okay, on the B ball, it should read, and this is now clause section 2, subsection 2. A should read, a recipient of funding from a funding agency assesses, comma, records and reports.
You are reading the existing now.
Yes.
So you can go faster.
Yeah.
You are reading what is a currently on the can I just just come in firstly and then you take us there? on that A, B, and C are the new insertions.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. D is the old D if you go to the original bill. Okay.
It's the old A, Mr. Chief?
Yes.
D is the old A.
No. It's the old D. After C, you must have D as human ingenuity and so on and so on. The A of the old becomes E, the D becomes F, the C becomes G, and the D becomes whatever, unless you want to retain the D and, you know, because those D is taken directly from the D, which is in the old bill, but what you formatted is in the old bill A, B, and C, which can either follow after D as E, F, F and G, or can fall after C and D becomes something else. That's just a consequential amendment that we must do. Okay? In other words, it's either you retain D in its current form and take the old A, B, and C that becomes E, F, and G, or whatever. It's just a
Mr. Chair, we can do so, but then we have to amend the A list just to reflect that is what was being done. We retain the old D, and then we've added
okay.
at the bottom.
All right.
Then the A list has to be amended.
Okay. In other words, we have to amend actually both.
So if we keep the A list as it is and just amend the bowl which incorporates it, we don't have to amend the A list.
Then you have to amend because the numbering won't be the same.
Yes.
You have to amend both. In terms of, because you've retained D in both, because you've got to reflect where D, is D going to be the same as it is in both bills, or are you going to follow whatever. So it's just a cleaning up matter. It's not a substantive issue. It's really a consequential amendment. So are we together, Mr. Rajesh?
Yeah.
All right. All right, anything else, madam?
No, nothing for my side.
All right. you might want to look into the definition of net revenue. You changed. Oh, okay. Oh, there's a new one. Okay. Oh, this one. All right, I was looking into the old one. Sorry, it's corrected. Is there anything else? We're going to get into the... So,
I see that you didn't see it for to include Schedule 2, because there were only three definitions, three acronyms. Madam? You're not going to vote against it because there's no Schedule 2, ne? What? No. Okay. You want to say something?
Chair, can I respond to that? There was these three acronyms, and they are defined in the definition section, which is easily refer to it. So that's why we thought it would be appropriate to rather keep it there.
Good. All right. The WAP agrees. So if she agrees that these are, there is nothing else we can debate on this matter. Now, where do you want us to start looking systematically? Yes. You've made the corrections that we might want to give you a chance to just go and finish up when we break later on and come and vote on the bill. Finally, the corrected one, amended one, cleaned up one. It's easy, man. It's in the system, eh? You just cut and paste. All right? In fact, you are just supposed to press a button there for somebody to come running with a corrected one. But it looks like technology is still slow here. Prof, anything you worried about?
All of it.
Not yet.
Like I'll come later.
Okay.
Chair, I just want to check. I know maybe those are parliamentary processes that you need to. There is a need of the interpretation of the bill 3 days before. Where if we're going to debate it next week, is the line not long? Can we get someone to check for us whether we'll have that? I know, according to the rules of parliament, it should be submitted 3 days before for the interpretation of the bill or whatever.
Okay. Was there another version of this bill in any other language?
I think it's Swati. Yeah.
It's Swati?
Yes.
Why haven't I seen it? I'm just asking. I'm taking a word for it. It might just be a Swati translation in the department. Have you seen the Swati version?
Yeah.
Is it there with you?
Yes.
So you're comfortable. What's that, Swati? Okay. All right. Did you read the Swati version? Are you happy with it? All right. Members, we did ask the last time just to get an appreciation of the patenting landscape, okay, and how we're doing as government and so on. I see there is a red book in front of you. I'm going to give the good doctor just a few 5-10 minutes just to give us the appetite to read more on that red book. I don't know if you still have more red books here. If you have more, you can give to those who don't have. But if you don't, just give us the gist.
Thank you, Chair. Fortunately, the author of the book is sitting right next to me, and I'll ask him to talk to the high level summary of the book. All high level.
Thank you, Chair. The department likes using the word high level.
Mm.
So the report was basically put together under the auspices of the Innovation Fund, and the reason for putting the report together was to get a benchmark in terms of how we're doing as a country in respect of intellectual property, and also to do a comparison between the private sector trends and also the public sector institutions, and to try to find out what lessons could be learned from the patenting habits of the private sector institutions. In general, the report concludes by saying that patenting is very low at publicly financed institutions. But the starting point is that generally in South Africa, patenting is low. But it's even worse when it comes to universities and science councils. It goes on to then identify institutions that are better at patenting than others, and it also identifies some of the challenges within the system, largely from a policy perspective and also the lack of a harmonized approach to protection of intellectual property, where in some cases, the research was undertaken with public funds, but there was also private sector funding, and the intellectual property was owned by the private sector. And as such, it is not reflected in terms of the numbers that are reported in the report. Also, what we found was that in some cases, the institutions did not have IP ownership policies, and the researchers had full title to the intellectual property that came out of the research, and as such, they continue to enjoy the benefits of that intellectual property, with the institutions not having any title thereto. The report also identifies what we believe prospects for the future, particularly in the area of biotechnology, and we are of the view that that is an indication that the biotechnology strategy that the department launched a few years ago is starting to have some small seedlings, which in the future will hopefully be the seeds for future industries. And it also does a comparison using mapping. And from a mapping point of view, you can see clustering in terms of the private sector, but you don't see the same kind of clustering in terms of the public sector institutions. And therefore, it also then talks to a need for particularly institutions like the CSIR and other research institutions to actually have a real focused research agenda to then be able to develop real concrete centers of competence in respect of intellectual property. At the beginning of the book, it provides a very good overview in terms of the patenting process, both looking locally and then growing that internationally in terms of the PCT. And we have the view that the report provides a basis for us to be able to measure in a few years' time the impact of this particular legislation that is before you. Because when this exercise is repeated in 5-10 years' time, one should be able to see whether the harmonization of intellectual property policies at institutions has had an impact in respect of IP ownership, but also one should be able to see whether the issues around disclosure of intellectual property are also having an impact in terms of the number of patents that are coming out of the institution.
Really want that Siva. Is that clear? Is there anything else that we need to engage? All right. Members? We've got three bills in front of us, three pieces of the same bill. The one is the original bill, okay? That we have gone through, that the public has been responding to, excuse me, and that we have amended. Now, after that, we've got what we call the A list, or the A bill, whatever you want to call it, which is B46A 2008. It's on page 2, it starts with amendments agreed to. Okay? That is the one that we've been dealing with. The one that starts with plus 1 and giving you the reference cross-referencing to the old law. All right? And then you've got this amended one, the people, the one that you, we've just, the one that is corrected, where's my mouse? Okay. Right? And it starts with a long title, having a big print on top called Bell. Also so far. Oh, yeah? Fred. Where's Bell? Near Fred, near Bell. Now, I want you to look at the bill itself, I mean the amendments, and the new bill. All right? The amendments, the one we are replacing arising, that is clause one, was emanating. It just says that. That's what we're doing. And if you look into the amended bill, the B bill, it will be right where it is, line 9. It's correctly captured. I'm just giving you the gist. I won't go through each and everything. I'm just... and then, same clause, number 2, clause 1, number 2, on line 11, you are must be interpreted accordingly, and to substitute shall have a corresponding meaning. All right? If you look into the amended bill, that is line 11, just before the department, the definition of department, the last few words after commercialized, which is in quotes, you have shall have a corresponding meaning. Are we together? Good. Now, number 4. Is it number 4? Number 3, line 16. Okay, on this one, on the new one, it will be line 15, where you say funding agency. No, yeah, on line 15, you see we've got debt funds, research and development. In the new amended bill, you see it as line 15. Take it that we're together so far. And that's how it goes, copyrighted, and foreign intellectual property law is amended, it's in line 25 now, copyrighted is in line 26, and that's how it goes. All right? There might have been on line 7, that on line 29, after the first that cross-referencing, because to me it looks like the second, but it's okay. That's some of the matters that we just would be looking into just to clean up, but the substance is the same. Now, after giving that thing, obviously we'll have a consequential amendment after including substituting derived with emanating on number 14. 14 becomes 15, blah, blah, blah. So that's the cleaning up that we're going to do. At some point, you substituted society. I don't know whether society is not the right word to use in the bill, but it's still at least retained in others. Let me just give you an example. If you look into object of the act, where you said the line number 26 in the new one, the amended the people, where it says utilized, I mean commercialized for the benefit of society. You've taken, replaced that for the benefit of society in the old bill, for the benefit of the people of the republic. Okay? But I don't know what were you trying to deal with the ordinary people of South Africa question? Ordinary people? But then, when you went further into subsection 2A, the benefit for society of blah, 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 blah. So what I'm saying is that at some point you're taking out society, but as you go on, you're still reinstating it. I don't know whether there is no legal problem, but I'm sure you're trying to address some consistency questions. The state law advisors, if you can just comment on that. That's the only thing that I think I just picked up here. But other than that, all I'm saying is that we don't have an allergy against society. But we see what you're trying to do. Yeah. And also the questions might arise with society. South Africans in particular. Is there any comment there? Just to
thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a look at that this morning, and I saw we still retain society. But I looked at the whole section, and constantly we refer to the people of the Republic. The subsection just after that refers to the people of the Republic. So I didn't see a problem in retaining it, but I suppose for the purpose of consistency, we can change it to the people of the Republic for consistency's sake.
I tried to read it without society, with the people of the Republic, and it sounded very clumsy. So as long as there's no legal problem there, as I understand it. Society is generic, because on page 2 you've also used it. If you just on the same bill, amendment bill on page 2, line number 10, or use for the purpose that may provide any benefit to society or commercialize use on reasonable terms. So there is no problem, as I understand it. I just want to, if we're on the same wavelength, I'm happy. But if you've got doubts, we might just want to. Your amendment in the first one is very well. The replacement of society makes it absolutely clear, of what we're trying to achieve. So, if you want to confer and check how it's captured in the Isiswati one, you might, I'll give you some. No, not now, during the break. All right? I'm raising these members not to debate, but just to ensure that we are comfortable. The only contentious one, I'll have that to you, was, is it section 10? I might just remember that. Yes. Well, let me call it clause 10 now, where it deals with percentages. I was trying to get a real-life example here. Of the 20%, the 30%, the net and the gross, and so on and so on. After all the definitions, to me it makes sense. It says, let me just read subsection 1 and 2. Intellectual property creators and an institution and their heirs are granted a specific right to a portion of the revenues that accrue to the institution from their intellectual property emanating from publicly financed research and development for as long as revenues are derived from such intellectual property until such rights expire. Section 2, intellectual property creators at an institution and their heirs are entitled to the following benefit sharing. At least 20% of the revenue accruing to the institution from such intellectual property for the first 1 million rand of revenues or such higher amounts as the minister may prescribe, and thereafter at least 30% of the net revenues accruing to the institution from such intellectual property, and so on. You happy with it? Eh? Oh, yes, Chief. Just comment on that one.
Chair, we're suggesting that we delete on line 3 on page 6, delete emanating from publicly financed research and development, and then just put in terms of this act. And we have the view that it will actually read much clearer, because in essence it's their intellectual property in terms of this act.
Can you just repeat?
So it would, if I reread the whole sentence with the suggested amendment, to say intellectual property creators at an institution and their heirs are granted a specific right to a portion of the revenues that accrue to the institution from their intellectual property in terms of this act, for as long as revenues are derived from such intellectual property until such rights expire.
Does it change the meaning? Does it change the
meaning of, or does it just, is it the same meaning? What just, is there any substantive change there?
No, there's no substantive change. It's just we have a view that it provides a better reading.
Okay. Can I, during the break, ask you and the state law advisors to just ensure that you reach on the same page? Okay. But in terms of substantive meaning on the percentages, how say I'm a creator, okay, and intellectual property is created as for the institution of Parliament, and they register a patent successfully, what does it mean? If this thing costs, it's going to bring revenues of 3 million in royalties, in license fees for the transactions that we do. Okay? How does the 20%, 1 million, and 30% net revenue work?
Jay, if the institution applies the minimum of those figures, which means that they, within their own policies, they say 20% and 30%, and there's 3 million rand that will come in, when the first million, because that 3 million will come over a period of time, it will not come in at the same time. But assuming that it does come in at the same time, because there was a large consignment that was sold, what would happen is that of the 3 million, the 1 million would be paid, 20% would be paid on the first million, which would mean 200,000 would then go out to the IP creators. And then the balance, which is the 2 million, then the institution will be allowed to recover their costs. After they've recovered their costs, then the IP creators will then be entitled to 30% of what remains, which is the net revenue. So if their costs, for example, let's say their costs are also 1 million, it means that then the IP creators will only be entitled to 30% of 1 million, because to be 2 million minus the 1 million of costs, therefore the net revenues is 1 million, therefore 30% of the 1 million would then mean 300,000.
I'll come back to you, Mr. If you say over time, say for instance the first million came in this year. Okay, so it's 3 million over, say, 2 years, or 1.5 years. The first million came this year, they take 200,000. And they wait for the other whatever to come. Anyway, let me leave that part. Let me leave that part. And then it goes on. I'll come back to you, Mr. Ainsley. It goes on to say in subsection 3 at the end, unless otherwise agreed between those creators and the recipient, or determined in accordance with institutional policy. We've opened up a door for institutional policy. What if institutional policy is less favorable than what is in the Act?
On subsection 3, it really looks at a situation where there is more than one IP creator. So the question is then, how do they then share that 20% or that 30%? And most institutions would have policies to say the sharing is in accordance with the level of contribution towards the development of the intellectual property. And what we're saying there in subsection 3 is that in the absence of such policies, then the sharing is going to be equal amongst those IP creators. In our view, what you have done is preserved the rights of the IP creators to benefit sharing in terms of those minimums, but in terms of how each IP creator shares when there's more than one of them, then it's a matter of subsection 3 then applying.
So it just applies to it specifically where there are more than one creator.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, so that's fine. Comrade
Ainsley? Just briefly, please rule me out of order if you've discussed this before, because I wasn't here last week. As I understand it, net revenue is revenue minus cost.
Mm.
That's right. That, I can appreciate that in clause 2B, but in clause 2A, are you not putting the institution at a financial disadvantage by insisting, oh, that all revenues before cost, before deducting cost, revenues may be distributed in that way, 20% of those revenues. Why is there this distinction between 2A and 2B, where the one is revenue minus cost, and the other is just revenue before cost?
Mm. The intention of the offset bill is to try and balance between incentivizing and regulating the management of intellectual property emanating from publicly financed research. And the people at the core of the research are the researchers, the IP creators. And the people that will be interacting with the funding agencies or the private sector will not be the researchers. And so they try and get the best value for the institution. And the researchers are then left, you know, to then fend for themselves. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that we protect the IP creators and we incentivize them. And we've kept it at a bare minimum. It's a million. And often these transactions are to hundreds, sometimes to tens of millions and hundreds of millions. And you're saying the first million, the 20% of that gross in the first 1 million should then go to the IP creator. And thereafter, it's net, it's after the institution has taken out all the costs associated with the commercialization of the IP. And if you calculate in real terms, it's 200,000 that goes to the IP creator. And if in a lifetime of the reactor, they're probably going to have
one patent that is commercialized that creates that kind of revenue. And 200,000 in real terms is not a big amount for an institution. And we think it's enough of an incentive for the IP creators to stay interested. What usually happens is that you find an institution taking a long time to calculate its costs in order to share the benefits with the IP creators, and they wait for years to get anything out of the commercialization of those technologies, and to make sure that at the point of that transaction, they get something immediately. We then included this clause to keep them incentivized. Otherwise, it will take 3 to 5 years for the institution to come back to IP creators and say, here is your share of the commercialization of IP.
I think another thing to also remember is that the institutions get a subsidy from the state in respect of protection of their intellectual property. And so therefore, those costs for protection are subsidized anyway.
We try to encourage creators as well, so they get not bogged down to the bureaucracies of paying for some of the so-called costs, overhead, including okay. So that's
it. Check me out if I'm wrong. Doctor, I would like to know that will it always be possible to ensure that the creators really do get something, or how will the department or how will the state ensure that it happens, that the creators do get something, because you know, we're living in this world. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah. One of the things that would be important once this piece of legislation is passed is obviously to make sure that the IP creators, that the institutions are aware of this piece of legislation and also their rights to benefit sharing. Then the second thing, it would be important for NIPMO and also the department to ensure that the institutional policies also incorporate benefit sharing arrangements which are in line with the legislation. And once that is done, I think it would be then a matter of the a continuous education and awareness around IP at the institutions, and if an IP creator feels that they are not getting their benefit sharing, we could provide in regulation for that IP creator to either approach NIPMO or to approach the department.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not almost immediate. 1 million in Ghana, I would say, then I double 100,000.
I think that applies to the 20% of cost. But the 30% of net might take as long as it takes for the institution to account for its costs and to then, you know, compute the what it's gonna call at the end the net revenue, and it depends on the transaction. Sometimes it's gonna take a year for the transaction to be concluded, and sometimes it takes there are legal battles, and it takes 5 years, and the IP creator will have to wait for that battle to be finalized before they can take their share, and probably at the end of that legal battle, there might be nothing to share with the IP creator. And that's why we put in that FS clause that says the first million, they should at least get something immediately the cost before the institution calculates its cost, because the cost might, you know, include long protracted legal processes, and at the end of that process there's nothing for the IP creator. And they did create something, so they deserve to get something.
What are you saying?
Are you saying it's not necessary to put reasonable numbers? Let's leave it to the lawyers. Where does
yes,
I think once you put reasonable in legislation, and my colleagues on the other side will probably agree with that, it's too open-ended. And I think legislation needs to be very clear.
Mm.
And what we would actually suggest is that in regulations, we put in something around the payment of that of the first part. Yeah.
So you might be put into some reasonable test on this one, and the creators might not have the legal muscle to do that.
Is it possible then to put into the regulations a time frame in order to make sure that the guy doesn't die and only third heir picks it up?
So the inclusion of the heir there is to deal with succession. Is it the law? Okay. All right. Even if I don't pick it up, my grandchild will pick it up. They'll fight with the they'll fight amongst each other. The A in title. I want to yes, Maria.
Maybe I'm quite a bit dumb here. When it comes to commercialization, are payments made once off or they're ongoing? What does it depend on? How do we then grow the economy out of commercialization?
If the commercialization involves licensing of the technology of the intellectual property, what would normally happen is that the particular agreement will either allow for a lump sum amount of money to come in as a once-off payment. And in licensing, that is very, very rare. What normally happens is that there will be a royalty, which is a running stream of money that will come in over a period of time, up until the rights to the patent expire. But what we see more often is there's a lump sum plus a running royalty. The lump sum is intended to be able to assist the institutions in covering some of their expenses that they've incurred, and then the running royalty is a share that the institutions then have in terms of the benefits in respect of the technology or the intellectual property as it gets used in society.
Okay. That's one option. The other option is then another type of transaction is when the institution chooses to sell the IP, and when they sell the IP, they then get the lump sum to the institution. Another option is for an institution to commercialize the IP itself. Some institutions in South Africa will have a commercialization wing. We're calling them in this bill OTTs. But they will have spin-off companies. The CSR has that, to have spin-off companies, and they take a share in that company. And when they take a share in that company, then they have a stream of revenue that comes out from the commercial activities of that company. If they have 25% share, they will get 25% share of the revenues that are coming out of that company. And some institutions choose not to engage in commercial activities. So they will have IP transactions, and they will get the revenues that are coming out of the activities associated with that patent. royalties and so forth. But often now you find universities having spin-off companies on site, like the UJ technology on solar, and the institution continues to get revenue from the manufacturing activities that are associated with that technology.
Are we going to write into this bill a clause that will give heirs in the next 200 years something out of this world? Because then I would like to do that. Sometimes you have an heir that you say, get out of my life. I'm not even going to leave you 1 cent out of my testament, but here we are writing into the bill something that will go on for generations. Do we need to do that, or can we stipulate it? The first generation of heirs.
The reason for specifying heirs is that there is no general practice currently. The practice is in essence that when a person dies, they die, and the institution will wrap up their estate in terms of their pension and what other benefits they might have had. So it was important for us to make sure that we cater for a situation where an IP creator creates something today, tomorrow they pass on, but what they've created has an impact both for society and the economy. And therefore, had they lived, they would have benefited. And therefore, who then benefits should be their heirs. And I think I hear what you're saying, and I think it might be an educational process for the IP creators to then learn how to write wills to exclude certain heirs from benefiting.
Mrs. Thatcher would leave anyway.
Come in, MK. Chair, just finally for me, you refer to net revenues in 2B. In 2A, you simply refer to revenues. Now, for those of us, almost all of us here, who've done economics 1A, there can be no debate about what you mean in A about revenues. But maybe the rest of society will perhaps debate and be uncertain as to what you actually mean by revenues. Would it be not clearer if you put in, as you've done with net revenue, you put in gross revenue? Or is it absolutely unnecessary?
Yeah.
No, let's do this. In the definitions, we've got net revenue, as you could see, and revenue. And gross revenues is linked to revenues at the end in terms of having that corresponding meaning. Yes, my dear.
But, Kay, I don't know if I have the right version.
Yeah.
It's not highlighted.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. It's meant to be highlighted as a definition with a corresponding meaning, as we did with commercial lines.
Okay. All right. So is this something that you look into? A gross revenue shall have corresponding. You want gross revenue to be highlighted, to be bold?
It should be bold with inverted commas.
Okay.
It's being
page 3. And I think it's by 19. Okay. Thanks for picking that up. I sense some comfort and satisfaction in this meeting. But nevertheless, after doing that, that was the only contentious clause or section of this bill that I thought we should just engage upon. Others looked very straightforward. I'm going to, after you, Mr. Blanchet, allow the state law advisors and the department to just do the final cleaning up. We're just going to break for about 30 minutes. Cleaning up, and then we come to really take the process to a conclusion. And in that thing, I'll check with the agency if they have caucus, and they are happy, and I'll check with I'll caucus with the DA in the absence of other party members, and then I'll represent the Alvapo and whoever else is not here. It's not yet launched. Is it launched?
No.
Not yet.
It's
called National Party of South Africa, NEPSA, 10 PSA. Okay. Shall we do that? Shall I take it first before the break? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I've put a question now which boggles my mind.
Yeah.
IP, like what Beethoven has written, is intellectual property. That means for generations to come, a university who might have helped develop that has now got to keep track of all the Beethovens around the country in order to pay out these monies. Are we not burdening such an institution then with unnecessary things? Shouldn't we try and write into the bill something about just the first generation or the second generation? Because you're now putting a in a clause that can carry on for hundreds of years.
But is IP protection not only for 20 years?
Okay. It would depend on the form of IP protection. When it comes to copyrightable works like your musicals like Beethoven and Chopin and so forth, the protection will be for 50 years because that's the duration of copyright. And when it comes to patents, it would be 20 years. If it's a design, then it would be 10 or 15 mm-hmm. years. So the rights for an institution to be able to enforce a third party to pay them any royalties or revenues in respect of IP, there is a time limit in which they can always enforce it. Yeah.
I know it's alright. Write your words and include the naughty ones as well. They are just growing up. Yeah? Okay. If you've got naughty ones like somebody that I know. Honorable members, I'm told that the ANC is going to go into room 4 for a retreat. The DA and myself will just go outside here. Azapo, I'll represent. And who else is not here? The others who normally debate on bills that they don't even have had a chance to come to will represent them on Thursday next week. We'll break for 30 minutes, come back at 12, and finish it after 12. Those meetings are planned for 30 minutes. Is 30 minutes reasonable time for you? Okay, good. Go and cut and paste now. And don't... cut and paste in the wrong pages now. Going to have problems. Yeah, let's keep this thing here. We'll do it when everybody is comfortable that they're seven, I think. Captured. Is that the issue that you were worried about? If you can just tell us. That they just refer us to the things that you know have been captured. Otherwise, I'll guess that we have 14 on page 3, number 14 that is included, that was not included in the first one. And then we've got 15 and 16 that is captured. Are we together? If we take the new one and the old one, the new and the old, that is the A list. I'm not. If there are any problems of cross-referencing, I think we can do that later. But for now, I think we have dealt with the substance of what we wanted to do. Okay. And then net revenues is captured correctly. And also, let's check 2. Is it close 2? That we have included, did we? What did you do to D and the rest? They remain consequentially S, E, F, and G.
Chairperson, if we read that clause, it says it's an insertion.
Okay.
Those at the bottom is usually corrected by the printer. And I think the problem came in with the printer because they do the renumbering. We didn't omit anything. We just inserted A, B, and C, and then the remaining, or the old A, B, and C, was supposed to be renumbered.
Okay.
That's why we left it like that. It was just the printer that didn't read the instructions correctly.
All right. So this is a matter that you'll bring to their attention, obviously.
Yes.
All right. And that takes care of much. And then if you look into clause 10, which is page 6 of the new amendment, in line with what was said earlier, after the first property emanating from that, you in terms of this act, that is, even it's 6 on both the amended version and 6 on the new D bill. Okay, page 6. So that one is also captured. Clause 10 is amended accordingly. And that brings us to the end of the amendment. And so, comrades, colleagues, and members, I'm going to be reading to you in the next few minutes a motion of desirability for us to amend, to pass and the law and so on and the report. But before I do that, let's go to the bill as amended. The people. I'm taking you through page 2. The definition. We'll come back to the long title. Alright? That we are happy with the definition on page 2 and 3. That is clause 1. As amended. You want to say something now? This is your law. You want to pass it? Thank you very much. I'm taking you to page 3, objects of the law of the act, plus 2 in terms of the amendment, as amended. Are we agreed?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we come to the application, which is clause 3, anything that you want to raise there, or are we comfortable? Okay. I'm taking you to clause 4, trade in respect of intellectual property, where the creators can say, I'm not interested. And NIPMOT takes over. And if they don't, institutions may have the right. Anything we are uncomfortable about clause 5, clause 4? I'm on page 4 of the amendment. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Chair. I think you're talking to the members, but I think there is a correction that needs to be made to 4B, which still refers to 5.2D, cross-referencing.
Yes.
And well, I think 5.2D needs to be changed to mean to be 5.1E. Sorry.
Where are we?
Page 4.
Page
4, line 8. Let's pack it. We'll come back to it. You just give concentration. We'll come back to it. Let's pack it.
Yeah.
So that I did say what we didn't check now, and all of this is the cross-reference that I think must be absolutely looked into as we come to the final one. All right? But let's park this one and come back to it. Let's go to clause 5. As amended. Okay. Clause 6 was correct. There were no amendments in clause 6. Clause 7. The small one, arising and emanating, that is in line in terms of the people line 22. Emanating is captured there. Clause 8, there were no amendments. And then functions, which is clause 9, there was an amendment that we agreed upon. Or some amendments that we had agreed upon. And clause 10 was amended. All right, that is a substantive amendment that we were talking about earlier. All right. Clause 11, there were no amendments necessary. So 12 was also not amended, it was agreed to, I mean more or less. And clause 13, intellectual property fund, no amendments were effected. Clause 15, we have amended that, in particular with international financial reporting standards that we've included there. And clause 16, there were no amendments. Clause 17, no amendments. And the long title was amended. The long title on page 1 to deal with the question of emanating rather than derived. Can we talk about cross-referencing issues? Can we just make the point that the state law advisors must assist us to just ensure that cross-referencing is double-checked so that we've got a neat law. We don't want to go to Parliament with a piece of paper of amendment. Okay? I remember there was a bill that went to Parliament thrice. And every time there were a lot of amendments that are coming, I said, hey, it was a slap. I didn't want to go there. Yes, after waiting for how many, 3 years or 8 years, for it to come, it still came. Yeah. So, the department, state law advisors, the parliamentary law advisors, our researchers who are present here today in the committee section, let's do this committee proud. We don't want any comeback
what do you call it, comebacks, man? Or it comes back.
This is a good language, you know?
Yeah. That's right. You were still talking cross reference. Is there a specific one that you...
It's on page 4. It would be on the B, on the B. It's on page 3, at the bottom, section 4B.
Yeah.
52D should be changed to 51E.
Okay. And the one on page 4 should remain. That is on the bottom of page 3, line 55. I haven't checked it myself, but I know that Dalit Banda has looked into those very closely. All right. Is there any other one? The Lord Versus, are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Member? Now it's happening, eh? Stop yawning. You serious? We don't seem to be having any need to vote on any clause here, but nevertheless, I'm going to put the bill clause by clause to you for an adoption. Before I do that, I'm going to put the motion of desirability that I'm going to sign after you have adopted it, and it says the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology, the title of the bill, Intellectual Property Rights from Publicly Financed Research and Development, Bill 46 of 2008. Motion of the of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for more effective utilization of intellectual property emanating from publicly financed research and development, to establish the National Intellectual Property Management Office and the Intellectual Property Fund, to provide for the establishment of offices of technology transfer at institutions, and to provide for matters connected there was, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. Can I have a mover and a seconder for the motion? Got a mover? A seconder? Mr. Blanchet, second. Yes, I am. In front of everyone. And the day today is the 12th. Fine. Yeah, okay. Okay? Right. Comrades, I'm putting the clause 1 for adoption as amended. Is that great? Thank you very much. I'm putting clause 2 as amended. Thank you. Clause 3 as amended. Clause 4. Good. Clause 5. Good. Clause 6. Agreed. Clause 7 is amended. Okay. Clause 8. Okay. Clause 9 is amended. Alright. Clause 10 is amended. Clause 11. Clause 12. Clause 13 is amended. 14. 15 is amended. Confidentiality of 16, 17, 18. Can I put the schedule, the whole schedule 1? Thank you very much. Can I put the long title now? As amended. Mr. Blanchet? Thank you very much. Can I put the old bill now? Good, good. 10 out of 10. Now, you know, attending courses says, I must read this to you. The report of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology on the Intellectual Property Rights from Publicly Financed Research and Development Bill, D46 of 2008, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 12 August 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology having considered the subject of the Intellectual Property Rights from Publicly Financed Research and Development Bill, 46 of 2008, of the National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanism as Section 75 bill, reports the bill was amendment. A mover? I show a hand. Good. Mr. Blanche, Ms. Ngobo. Anybody who's got an objection and opposition to what we have done? No opposition. Yeah, fine. And today is the 12th. Of the Women's Month. Can I have a round of applause to yourself? 10 out of 10. We do have them. As extraordinary people of the Republic. Members, let me start off by thanking you very much. I mean, we've taken those in our stride. And I think we've done a good job. We've given the country a good law. Even those who had some reservations, I think I had a long discussion with some of the people who were trying to lobby for some amendments. We've agreed that the bill is a good bill. They support, general support of the bill. Secondly, to thank the department for their consistency, understanding. And we've actually utilized you a lot, you know. Noting that there's some capacity problems in Parliament, we hit that away very well without you noticing. That you see some of the jobs that you are doing, where you're doing it for the country. I can see that you're still revolutionary. And we pay them for that, eh? High salary. Okay.
High level.
They believe in high level. Okay. The state law advisors, you have been a pillar of strength. Thank you very much. And the parliamentary law advisors, Refilo is not here, but in absentia, could you also pass our gratitude? Particularly, also the committee section. Thank you very much, Khadija. Thank you very much, and your colleague. And Tembinko Sima, thanks, Chief. This has been a very smooth, seamless transition from Zelna to Tembinkosi. And we've been watching very closely, and some of you did not even realize and recognize. It's only when I gave you the card to say thanks to Zelna that you said, by the way, it happened finally. Zelna is gone, and I think thanks very much to her, and thanks to me. And good luck, man. You've got a bright future ahead of you, so you must just keep your cool. Oh, you're near school, then you'll be okay. Members, in terms of legislation, I've mentioned before what we have to do next week. Hopefully we'll be finalizing. If we can pull off the oversight versus, let's do that. If we can't, let's go and campaign. Comrade Blanche, we're going to meet in the street now. After doing the country proud with all the good laws, you must go and gym and train. You've got another challenge, the National Party of South Africa, which is going to reclaim membership from the DA. And the ID is also just looking into the DA to take from there. Sorry? No, the ANC is an omnibus. It takes DAs. There are a lot of DAs in the ANC, a lot of national...